Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, scumbags. This is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts, Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
Ellie, I'm really excited. I'm always excited, but especially today because our guest today is Sakisa. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This is actually quite fun.
Oh, you say that now. We've only just begun.
This is, you know, we started comedy and one of the first gigs Ellie and I did when we were in, you know, 11 years ago was Comedy Virgins, man.
Oh my God.
So and there was ago. Your beautiful sunny face, I remember, and now look at you. You're on the telly, and what are we doing, Ellie?
We're sitting in my lounge.
Yes.
Yet again. For 10 years, we've been sitting here talking at each other while someone sits in the middle and has to put up with it. But we're still going. Nobody's made it illegal yet.
Oh.
And for anyone who isn't familiar with Comedy Virgins, which, can I just say also, is one of the worst names for a comedy night I've ever heard.
Yes.
Would you describe what it is, Sakisa?
Comedy Virgins is an open mic night aimed for new people in comedy or people who just want to try out new material. So most people, I'm going to say about 80% of people who started in London has started from Comedy Virgins, has come through Comedy Virgins.
Everyone has to lose their comedy virginity.
Yeah, at least once there.
At some point.
Yeah.
And just like losing your virginity in real life, sometimes it's really nice and lovely, and for some people it's absolutely fucking awful.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's the worst thing ever. And you're like, oh, why is there paedophile jokes coming out at me?
Yeah. Every time. Literally.
Why is there trans jokes happening? No, we shouldn't be doing this. We need to have a conversation, babe.
Yes, things have moved on, but not always at Comedy Virgin. And you're the MC. Are you still MCing down there in Stockholm?
Yeah, still MCing there. Obviously, I've been working in this pub for like 16 years. I've lost track, but it's about 16 years now.
The whole thing is that like anyone can come.
It's
they get their 5 minutes.
5 minutes, they get to perform. We wave your finger up at 4 minutes. That means you've got 1 minute to wrap up. And we see everything there. We see comedians doing sketch. We see just straight out comedians. We see character comedians. I've seen someone on stage get naked.
Oh.
Several times, actually. That's happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
In a funny way?
So one of them did it, they were dressed as a reverend.
Okay.
And they kept rocking back and forth. They had the mic in the mic stand and they were rocking back and forth. And I was like, what? Why are you doing that? And then suddenly I realised they're rocking back and forth because their trousers were being loosened when they were doing that. And then I think they hit a part of their story or whatever they were saying and their trousers dropped and it was just full penis. And we were just like,
Ooh, my eyes. Was that the punchline?
And I was just like, okay, this is an interesting concept.
I've
never seen that person come back again.
Oh, wow, you've seen it all.
I've seen a lot.
I would recommend going there. Either like if you want to try comedy, it's quite a nice supportive atmosphere.
Yeah.
And the MCs like yourself do a brilliant job of, you know, looking after everyone. It's great. But also just to watch because all human life is there. It's a bit like Britain's Got Talent, but except it should have a question mark at the end. Has Britain Got Talent? Go to the Cavendish Arms and find out.
Let's get back to Sakisa.
Because Sakisa, we've obviously alluded to that you're a comedian, a life of comedy, but you're so much more than that. You're so much more. Let's go back. So you're also an immigration lawyer and have worked for Legal Aid.
Yes, I work in Legal Aid, so there's not much money in it. People say, when people hear I'm a lawyer, they automatically assume that I'm rich.
Yeah.
And I've got money. I'm like, no, I work in Legal Aid. It's refugees. There is no money in it.
So what drove, was that just a desire to do good? Right, I've got this law degree, but what I'd like to do is not earn as much money as other people in my in my year group.
I never really wanted to be a lawyer. I'm not going to lie. I never really wanted to be a lawyer. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I mostly wanted to be a dancer. That's what I wanted to do. But my family and parents were very much like, no, you're our only child. You must go to university and get yourself a degree. Mm. And I was like, I don't know what degree I'm going to get it in. Mm. And so I'm doing it in law. So
my God, good job you're clever enough for it though, because that's...
This is interesting. I found out I was dyslexic last year. Or not last year, because we're in 2024 now. In December 2022,
so
I found out...
So what age is this, if you don't mind me asking? We can cut this out, Sakisa, if this is a difficult time.
34.
34. You're a baby.
Yeah, I found out I was dyslexic. And this is what my show is all about, Edinburgh show was all about last year. It was about me finding out I was dyslexic. So when I found that out, I kind of was like, oh, wow. A lot of things of how I coped in university made sense. My brain automatically just was like, we need to figure out how you're going to get through education in university. So things like highlighters and colours were the things that helped me. And I didn't realise that was a trait of me being dyslexic.
Mm.
So
how did you find out then? Like,
I had a situation in the pandemic where I had to read on live. I could read a book on live. And I was stumbling over words. And I was... One particular word froze in my head. Like, it wasn't coming out my mouth. And I was like, I know what this word is. It comes on the TV all the time. The word was program. And I was like, I'm looking at TV going, you know this word. Why is it not coming out my mouth? And I nearly cried on live because I was, like, having a really hard time reading. And it's not like I have a problem reading. It's just reading out aloud. And I was remembering certain things that I do in terms of coping with reading. Like, I would always reread paragraphs. It takes me quite a long time to read complex words. I can't pronounce certain words as well. And I decided, okay, I'm going to research this a bit. And I was like, you know when you people have an illness and they're like, things that are going on with their body, and you're like, I'm going to Google this and see if... And then you're like, oh no, I've got cancer. And then I've got cancer.
Oh, I know about that.
Times a day.
Yeah. That's my hobby. Yeah.
So I did the same thing, but with... And I was like, oh, maybe I'm dyslexic. And then I kind of, for a year, didn't think about it. And then after my debut hour, I kind of was like, I'm going to figure out how this was, like, what this is, and see if I'm actually dyslexic. So I paid a lot of money to get assessed because the NHS was like, you're going to have to wait 4 years. I was like, I've got a new show to write. Thank you very much.
I've been waiting 30. I'm not sure this is going to work for me.
Yeah.
And how is that transforming? And what sort of help or, you know, how do you now manage that? Or how has that sort of changed how you...
It makes a lot of things about me a bit more understandable, about how I am as a person and how I communicate. I find it very difficult sometimes to talk to people. I know that's really funny, me being a comedian.
Evidence would suggest not. Yeah.
But I've never been good at public speaking, which is why I got into comedy. And for me to understand, it's okay for me to fuck up certain things. So I've now got the signature at the end of my emails to be like, just to let you know I'm dyslexic. I've realised how much spelling mistakes I actually do make in certain things. I didn't realise that before. I've noticed it more than I have before. Just certain things, mostly to do with me personally and how I communicate with people, is probably the most learning curve.
But it's interesting that at uni you were saying you found your own sort of coping mechanisms and strategies, and you just got this law degree. Basically.
Yeah, just kind of just went with it, and then ended up becoming a lawyer in a high street law firm, and then still there. Still there dealing with our lovely government in terms of immigration and asylum.
Helen and I are massive, lovely people. I mean, we're massive supporters of the Tories, aren't we, at Scummy Mummies? Yeah. What a great bunch of lads. Hope they get another 4 years.
Yes. Oh, such compassion, such vision.
So much.
I feel safe. You know,
my favourite thing that's happened recently is that they had this announcement that how, or they made a promise, if you want to put it that way, that how people who claimed asylum pre-2022 will have their asylum cases dealt with by the end of December 2023, and they announced in January. Even the Prime Minister was very excited about this, was like, yes, we've done it, people. No, I've got 20 clients still have pre-2022.
Hang on a minute. Are you saying that the Tories did a lie?
Yes.
I will not have that, Sakisa. Excuse me. You cannot come on this podcast and accuse this government of Britain of lying. I shan't hear of it. Fuck me.
Wow.
Does that get you... I mean, that must get you down though, right? Just think, fuck, I'm fighting this battle for these people who really need help. I'm fighting against this terrible, big, lying Goliath.
Yeah, it is such a difficult job. There are pros and cons to the job, and I always talk about... I think people hear I'm an immigration lawyer and automatically clap, and I'm kind of like, well, you don't know if I work for the Home Office or not, lad.
I'm a good guy.
I could be putting people on planes to Rwanda all fucking day. You don't know.
Exactly. Me and Suella, best buds.
I'm like, you don't know what's going on. But there are pros and cons to being an immigration lawyer. Obviously, I am trying to like keep people in the country, but having to deal with the immigration system as it is really hard. To having to tell people most likely they're not going to get their leave to remain is really hard. To see people who are desperate to be in this country is really hard. I feel like people who don't have an understanding about immigrants, especially asylum seekers, I don't think people would really risk their lives to come to a country like the UK if their life in their own country was that great. Like, I don't think people are risking, like, the stories that you hear about people travelling from their own country, wherever it is, to the UK is horrendous. And sometimes it takes people 2-3 years to get here. And you're like, I don't think people are really doing that for the fun of it.
No, I don't think they've always wanted to go to Alton Towers. Yeah. I don't think that's it. I think they're absolutely desperate, and there isn't another option. It's not like, oh, I'll just do that on Tuesday. I just think, how do you say to people, I don't think, having made all this effort to get here, I don't think they're going to let you stay?
I think my way of processing or dealing with clients when you have to have those difficult moments is being empathetic, to be like, I appreciate this is your circumstances and situation. My job is an immigration lawyer. I have to cut myself off sometimes emotionally from the job. Because of the difficulties having those difficult conversations with people, because if you get yourself too invested in it, then you get too worked up yourself, you get annoyed, you get angry, and that just is not good for stress and mental health stuff. So I have to like cut myself off to a position where like, this is my job. My job is to advise people about the law. I didn't create the law. And I'm kind of stuck in the middle with that. So you have to empathise with people and their cases, but also have to educate them about this is how our system is. Yeah. I think when people have a better understanding about the things they need to do in order to get their leave to remain, then they have a better understanding rather than, I've just come to the country, can I get my leave?
Yeah,
I don't think that's the difficult situation with some countries as well.
Yeah, I remember talking to a barrister about divorce. And she said, you know, and she advised clients about this, and she said all these, you know, predominantly women would say, but he did this and this and this and this is so unfair. And she said, you have to understand it's a court of law, not a court of morals.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. And she's like, yeah, that was the hardest thing. She said, I don't know, he's done all these sort of things, but the law is that you'll get 50%, or the lawyers, and that's my job, is to navigate that within that system.
Doesn't matter what you said or what you promised or what that's what you committed to, even.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Tell us about the good stuff, Sakisa. Like when you can help, like what do you get from, I mean, those moments where you've helped someone basically have a massive life change?
You do realise it does change people's lives. like, it is life and death for some people. And when you get an email to say that someone's been granted their refugee status or someone's been granted their leave to remain or that you've won a court appeal hearing, because I do my own tribunal hearings majority of the times because I'm qualified to do that, instead of hiring a barrister, I can just do it myself. And for you to be like, I've got into a court and I've won this case is a great feeling. So, and you do you get to a point where you're like, well, you are doing a job for a reason. And there are some shitty law solicitors out there who will just take your money and run with it. And I've always been like, I don't need to do that. Like, I work in legal aid. I'm getting paid really low for the work that I do. But the reason why I'm doing this is because people need help. People need to have a better understanding. People need to be able to trust someone who knows what they're doing. Sometimes I find it really funny when people ask me questions like, have you heard anything about my case? And I'm kind of like, if I heard anything, why wouldn't I tell you? And also when people question your professionalism or like question like why, and you're like, I've been doing my job for 10 years. Like, I don't ask, like, I didn't go to the plumber. Why is the plumber doing that? I don't know the plumber's job. Like, just appreciate this is what I'm saying.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah, I'm doing my best. I'm just trying to live my best life. doing my best. Yeah.
Stop fucking up. Yeah. What do you think about this, I think, mad hill the government has decided to die on of putting people on planes to Rwanda?
Oh, what kind of stupid move was that? I thought that was the most ridiculous move in the world. How stupid is... Oh, I'm not... Oh, it's so stupid. This is why it's never really happened. Because
they have, at a time of recording, no one has gone to Rwanda.
No one's gone to Rwanda.
And how much does it cost? Like 110 billion. Like
something stupid.
It's something, you know, and we've got nurses and teachers and you know, basically a collapsing society.
Yeah.
And we're investing all this money and basically saying, I'm going to send the refugees to the moon.
Yeah.
Sorry, bye. Yeah.
To a country where itself is struggling with its own human rights, where you can't be homosexual. There's a film about the war in Rwanda.
Yeah. Have you not seen it, Rishi?
Exactly. What? Like, imagine if another civil war came out and you're just like, we're just going to send our refugees there. Ridiculous. I just think it's so stupid. I appreciate that we ourselves in the country has struggled since Brexit again. Whose fault is that? Since the war on with Russia, because obviously Russia apparently helped us quite a lot with our, that's the reason why there's a massive cost of living crisis. So I appreciate that we're struggling itself, and I feel myself that I'm struggling, but I feel like Rwanda is a different kettle of fish. I don't know what people are smoking in the government at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, is it something your clients are worried about? Like, have you been asked, am I going to get put on a fucking easy jet to Rwanda?
I've had clients who's had their flights issued to Rwanda.
Fuck me.
Yeah. And we've had to like cancel them or like get them cancelled.
What do you do in that? So is that they go to the person, they go, right, we're putting you on the plane, or do they come to you?
So they're still detaining asylum seekers, depending on what country they're coming from. They're still detaining asylum seekers, and if they don't feel like their claim is going to be successful, or if they certify their claims or they refuse their asylum, then they'll just give them a flight ticket, and their flight will be like, you're going to be sent to Rwanda. And I saw one. I was just like, oh, wow, this is going to be fun. just doing some legal arguments against it.
So, and you managed to get that?
Yeah. No one's been to Rwanda, so yeah. I don't see how this is going to work out. You're just wasting money and time.
Mm. Yeah. Bloody hell.
Wow.
Well, if you're listening, the government, there you are, an immigration lawyer has told you it's a fucking stupid idea, and B, fuck off.
Yeah.
Right, good, feel better now.
Yeah. Well done. Let's talk about your other job. So let's go back to comedy. Right? You're in comedy.
In comedy.
And when did it all begin? Because you were working at the Cavendish Arms, behind the bar, and I remember when I first started comedy, you would be the one in the booth doing the sound, flashing the red lights at me, telling me to...
piss off.
Get off stage.
Yeah.
Stop talking. And then what changed? Why did you decide to get in front of the mic?
I think it's because I was once... Shirley, who owns the pub, was very much like, why don't you give it a go? Like, you're slightly funny. Because I used to be working...
slightly funny!
Amazing, thanks, Sean.
Wow. Did you call your first solo album... Solo album?
Slightly funny.
Slightly funny.
Slightly funny. Should have, actually.
Slightly funny.
It's a good stage name.
Yeah. It is. Slightly, I know, if I was flyering people... Even though I had, like, flyers, sometimes I would just do it myself, innit? Or when I'm after a show to promote you coming to the show, I'm always going, come to the show, I'm slightly funny. Get on TV, slightly funny.
Slightly funny. Amazing.
So Shirley said, you're slightly funny.
Yeah, well, I do. And because she was just like, you're always bubbly behind the bar. You always seem to get on people. I just like to have banter and, like, jokes with people who are quite nice and quite friendly and stuff like that. So... And then Then she gave me this job to do the sound for Comedy Virgins, and one of the perks was, like, you get to do 5 minutes on stage. And I never really took it up until probably, like, 8 months into the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, let's just get on stage and do it. Because I used to watch people get on, you see their nerves. Sometimes, because people watch comedy and be like, you know, I can do that, that's easy enough. And then you get on stage, you're like, no.
Those 5 minutes are very long.
They're very long for the first time. Now I can't do 5 minutes. It's so hard. I think comedy is a learning curve. And it allows people to express themselves. I find it more therapeutic now than anything. It allows me to cut off from day job stuff.
Mm.
And think about immigrants and asylum seekers and having to worry about that. And just trying to have some fun. I'm a bubbly, social, in comedy world person. And then when I'm off stage, I'm like, can I just...
By day, she's saving lives. By night, she talks about cocks.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you did the comedy version thing. You've done your Edinburgh Hour, as you mentioned. You've done the telly. Was it Live at the Apollo?
Live at Apollo.
Amazing.
How was it?
Yeah.
Amazing. It's the best thing I've ever done.
Oh.
Honestly.
Were you nervous?
I was nervous. I was lucky enough to be in a green room with loads of lovely other people. Catherine Bohart was there. Susie Ruffles. I was in my episode. And it was like, my mum and dad came. My best friend travelled from Wolverhampton to come see the show. Three of my friends who've never seen me do stand-up comedy came to the show.
Delicious.
It was a lovely environment. Quite a few comedy friends were there. 4,000 people. It was the best thing I've ever done. I hit my head before the show. There was an accident that happened. So I banged my head and I feel like I had a concussion, but we ran through it, had a great time.
God.
Nearly
dead at the Apollo.
Yeah, nearly dead at the Apollo. I think it's probably the best thing I've ever done. And I look stunning.
You look awesome.
I look stunning.
Oh my God. Really sexy.
But I don't think anything will ever top the experience again.
Mm.
Especially coming out, finding my mum, because we were the first recording, coming out, finding my mum and my dad just to say bye, and seeing my mum had been crying.
Oh gosh, I've just got goosebumps. It's beautiful.
Yeah, so... And it's the first time I think I realised that she is proud of me in terms of comedy. So, yeah.
Aww.
So that was...
I think I'm getting
something. I know!
Because before she was like, what the fuck is this? What are we doing? Why are you on stage?
You have a job.
Yes,
exactly. You have a job.
Before, she was very much like, to her friends, my daughter is an immigration lawyer, all this, like, oh, my daughter's an immigration lawyer.
Now it's like... out that on all day.
All day.
Like,
yeah.
Lawyer's a good job.
Yeah. Now she's like, my daughter's on TV.
Yeah.
That's her vibe now.
Amazing.
Oh. So
tell us about your new show, because you're touring all around the country now, right?
Yeah, so tour starts in a few weeks' time. Very excited. Going around the country with this last show that I did, which is called Hear Me Out. Tour starts on the 18th of February, and then we're all around the country until the beginning of May. I'll be closing the show at the MacFest. I can never say the full version of this.
McKenneth?
The Welsh one. On the 2nd of May. But in between, we're in London. I'm in London the 4th and the 6th of... 4th to 6th of April at Soho Theatre. Lovely. Around Manchester, Glasgow, Edinburgh, Brighton, Leeds, Southampton, pow, 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 pow. She's everywhere.
Yeah, very excited to be doing my first ever tour. Mm. Quite nerve-wracking at the same time, but hopefully people enjoy it. I did get a lovely 5-star review in Edinburgh for it.
You can dine out on that all day.
Yeah, your mother can have that printed up and be handing out copies. Yeah. What's the show about? So it's about
It's about me being diagnosed as dyslexic and me figuring out who I am as a person, as an adult, and the effects it has had on me and why I communicate the way I communicate. So it's about that, essentially. There's a lovely surprise at the end when Alter Ego will come out to play. I like to give audiences a surprise in every show, and it's always a party. It definitely is a party. I'm getting in trouble in Edinburgh for quite a lot for audiences singing along.
That's awesome.
Too loudly to the song at the end. But yeah, there's a surprise at the end, and I always like to bring a nice energy-filled show. Ooh. And that's what it always is, despite having quite a personal story, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah. Obviously, no spoilers, but I know your other interests, Akisa, which we haven't even got into, include burlesque and wrestling.
Yeah.
Will there be any of those elements in the show?
Potentially one of the surprises is you may see me take off a little bit of clothes. Just a little bit of clothes. Just a little bit.
You mentioned this now. That's awesome.
A little bit of clothes. A little bit of clothes.
Will you be getting the ping pong balls out?
She is talented. I don't think she's that talented.
I have to use basketballs these days.
Slightly talented.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing. Because you're wrestling MC now as well.
Yeah, so I hosted a couple of wrestling shows. Recently did Eve Wrestling last night. Also started a wrestling podcast. A Wrestle Club UK.
Yeah. Nice.
First rule of Wrestle Club is you do a whole podcast about Wrestle Club. That's great.
Wrestle Club UK. Yeah, so yeah. So we get a lot of trolls on it. It's hilarious.
What are they trolling you?
Because I'll tell you what, wrestling fans, some of them are nerds. I like to call myself a nerd.
Yeah.
Because I'm a wrestling nerd. I've loved wrestling since I was 11 years old. But there are some people out there who are wrestling nerds, who are just so picky.
Mega nerds,
so nerdy. And you're just like, okay, you're going you're too serious about this, babe. Too serious.
Yeah.
Too much. Can you not see the joke? Can you not see the funny bit?
I find it inherently funny. I've recently just started going to the one in Canada, and I'm just an interloper. I'm just a sort of dabbler, but I find the whole thing absolutely hilarious, which is one of the reasons I like it.
Yeah, it's meant to be, they say like, wrestling's like pantomime, where they just want audiences to be involved. They have the energy to audience interaction, and these people are obviously really athletic. I like to think of wrestling more like lovemaking, like it's gonna go hard and fast, you know.
I like this. I need to go and watch it.
Someone might end up bleeding.
And
you can do it on a table anyway.
Yeah. And is the rules of wrestling? You
there are no rules.
Okay. We know it's sort of made. It is.
Helen, don't.
Okay.
Helen,
I've answered the question, listener.
No, it's all real. Like Father Christmas.
I'll tell you what, I've recently started wrestling training. And I can tell you, this is my leg.
Takisa, ow!
This is how it looked 3 weeks later. It was, all of this was black.
She's showing us a big bruise.
Yeah, all of this was black. Darling. I'll show you a picture of it later, but all of that was black.
Wow.
And then I've got a lump on this leg. There's a lump, there's more bruises. The things these people do.
Unbelievable.
You know,
so physical.
People be like, oh, wrestling's fake. There's storylines, elements to it, yes. Other matches, pre-planned, yes. There's choreography, yes. But
you can't fake jumping on someone's head.
Exactly.
That's what hurts. When they hit each other with chairs. I'm like, fuck
chairs.
Me.
Oh, wow.
Way tables. To make that look like, no. You know,
chairs going through tables.
You could have a great tournament in IKEA, actually.
Yeah.
I need to come.
You come along to the next one.
All right.
I'm not an expert like Takisa. I don't know necessarily all the names of the wrestlers or all the moves or even all the mechanics and all of that. But I just, as you know, I like going to the pub. Any excuse to stand in a pub. love standing in a pub for 5 hours. And to stand in a pub, and we go, don't we, with some other comedians, we have a chat, we have a joke, we have some bants, and then to do all that while there's like a massive fight going on, like in the middle of the room, I just find it highly entertaining. And lycra costumes, you like a bit of skin tight.
I think you enjoy the women wrestling
loads
as well.
Oh, yes, I'm here for that.
Some women go and watch it.
Which is why I quite enjoy it, because the women's toilets are never packed.
Bloody excellent. I'm there for that, especially because I have a bladder the size of a pea. So I've been enlightened. Excellent.
Yeah. Enlightened and invited.
What a cross section of topics that we've covered today, Ellie.
What a lot, mate. What a lot. But I think it is time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions, Helen.
Is that correct? So we like to at the
party.
End of
it. Sorry. To finish this
party.
Have you seen someone's mashed up the Lil Jon with the Venger Boys? We like to party.
No. What is it really?
It's amazing. Yes.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Confessions.
Thoughts. Yes. So my Scummy Mummy confession is that my son goes to a school where he can wear any sort of black trouser, you know. I was getting him ready for school, and I realised I hadn't washed his school trouser, but in my cupboard was a nice pair of M&S tailored ladies slacks. With a tapered at the ankle, and you know, some nice little side pockets and a cinched in waist.
Lovely.
And he said, "Where are my school trousers, Mummy?" And I said, "Here they are." And he's like, "Ooh, the fabric is so soft and light." And he said, "Are these really uniform?" I was like, "Yes, I got them brand new." And he's like, "Oh, they fit so nicely." And he went off in a very lovely, you know, with, you know, a cinched in waist, yeah, tapered trouser.
Beautiful.
Lovely, almost a Tencel fabric.
How old was he?
12. He's in year 8. I don't think anyone noticed, but he wore them very nicely.
That's fine.
It's fine.
It'll be fine.
Lovely ladies' trousers.
Yes. So my confession is, my 9-year-old son today has gone on a school trip to the Maritime Museum in Greenwich.
Lovely.
And my husband was helping get his packed lunch and stuff together this morning. And as regular listeners will know, we're not big fans of the royal family in this house. And Pete saying,
"What, Ellie?
Unbelievable.
You've kept it so quiet."
Unbelievable, but true. And we heard Pete saying to, I heard Pete saying to Joe, "Now remember, what are you? If you see the portrait of the Queen, what are you?" And he goes, "I'm a Republican." Yeah, that's right. And Pete goes, "And what do you do at the portrait of the Queen?" And Joe goes, did a big hiss, and I was like, I'm all about, you know, the revolution, get out the guillotine, but I just don't know if this is appropriate.
In a public, on a school trip, the teachers?
Yeah, because we've also got previous, when the Queen died.
Oh my God, this one, yes.
And he was asked, I think I might have shared this before, but he was asked, all the kids had to write a letter about it, which again is I could do a whole podcast about how I feel about that. But my son wrote, "Dear the Queen, sorry you're dead, even though my mother doesn't care about you." which is actually quite light compared to some of the things you could have written. So that's what we're doing.
How do you feel about Megan?
I've got time for Megan because I think Megan, like Diana, is a victim of a terribly oppressive system. I think she's been abused and exploited. How do you feel about
Megan? That's why we're friends.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well done.
Good. Been awful if you've gone married on the
floor. I think she's a dreadful bitch. With Piers Morgan
Good. So
Keza, do you have a story of personal failure?
I do, but I don't know if I can say it. it's a bit sexually gross.
Oh no, we love that. This is very welcome. You're in a safe place.
Okay, fine. So
it's just the internet.
On the very rare occasion when I had a boyfriend. Thanks for laughing already.
Sorry.
Thank you.
There's a little cough. I was just, sorry. Just getting my... Just
no, the cough was on me. She couldn't believe it. She was in disbelief. What?
Very rare occasions when I had a boyfriend. I like to call myself a lady in the street, but a freak in the bed.
Nice.
Okay. I've got a Golden Girls jumper that says, was it Dorothy in the streets, Blanche in the sheets? Similar vibes.
Very good, very good. I'm Rose in both, but that's fine. Yes.
Which hole?
Okay. Yeah.
So we had been getting quite freaky.
Mm-hmm.
And I was obviously doing the Lord's work in terms of sucking his penis.
Like and on your knees, prayer. That illusion, just like a really subtle reference.
Down no, straight on my in with knees.
Me. I had his phallus in my mouth.
Yeah.
That's right. Good.
God's work.
God's work.
Sorry. God loves a trier. Bless
wow.
you.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the Lord making you sneeze.
Oh, wow. Expel. Yeah, anyway, expel. Sorry.
The
anyway.
Lord's like, why are you not doing it right now?
Yeah.
Lay up there. Later.
Pete's got a Zoom meeting in 20 minutes. We've not got long.
Yeah.
And everyone had... I want to say everyone.
Everyone?
Not everyone.
Who was there? Is this the wrestling?
The Venga Boys. Seven wrestlers.
All of the traitors.
The audience of the Live at the Apollo.
Okay, so he had got to his conclusion.
Right, yes. Oh, let's be coy about that, yeah. He'd spaffed his load, yeah.
He got to his conclusion, which was in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was keeping the conclusion in my mouth.
She's such lawyer speak. I think we're fine, Your Honour. Yes.
And I was trying to be sexy about mm-hmm. it, where I was like, you know when you do this, you're like trying to be sexy, and you're like, oh, I've still got it here.
Yeah.
In my mouth. I've not swallowed it just yet. It's still here, but I will swallow it. When I did that, I accidentally opened up my mouth too much, and it landed on him.
You seem to have dropped something, sir.
Literally. And then he was like,
what do you mean?
And I was like, it's yours. And he was so weird about it.
He was in your body 30 seconds ago. That's my hair problem. Yeah. Hang on, you expect me to eat this shit and you're complaining because it's touching your skin.
And I was like, he probably was like, and I was like, it's yours. I'm giving it back to you if anything.
You pick your nose and eat it, don't you? What are you talking about?
It's all part of this thing.
Oh my God.
Dear God. I hope you chucked him over that. That's
No, he was very good at what he did.
Fair enough. So he did return these. He also did the Lord's work.
Oh, yeah. Yes, on a regular basis.
All right. Fine.
Oh, yeah. Fine. Yeah. No, exactly. Amy Poehler in her book says, if you don't eat pussy, I'll show you the door.
Yeah.
I know. Keep walking.
I know when men are going to be good ones when that's the first thing they do. And I'm like, I don't have to tell you. Well done.
Yeah, because if you have to ask for it, then that just implies that they didn't want to do it in the first place. No good, lads. Get down.
Yeah,
it's not putting up shelves. Do you know what I mean? Like, just crack on. Let's just get it done. Let's get Brexit done.
The last few occasions, rare occasions that I've been involved in sexual involvement. Why were we so coy?
And his penis in
the Who are you? Talk how you would talk after a couple of wines with some mates. That's what this is, Sakisa. Don't be funny. Your mum's not in the other room.
Tombo described it once on the stream. The physical act of love. which has now become a thing we all say. The physical hilarious. Act of love.
Yes. Fine. The last few occasions which have been rare that I've been fucked, they've gone straight into
Pussy Town,
and I've been like, you know what? Well, you're gonna be keepers. You're gonna not as in like relationship keepers, but you're gonna be good sex
on
keepers.
The rotor. Yeah,
you're gonna be the rotor. Well done.
On the rotor.
Yeah, I'll let you know your shifts.
Yeah,
let's go.
Do you keep notes on your lovers? I
keep notes. What, like a little tab?
No, because I used to in the slut phase, I had a Word document
about as thick as a directory.
I used to have notes on each of them, and what, you know?
Did you give them ratings?
No, but I sort of knew. I was like, oh, yeah, that one with that thing, did that thing. So I would just... But then I lost my phone on the plane to Everest, and
Shut up.
So someone in Qatar right now is really...
What?
Scottish, 32. Fucking hell.
Yeah, I had all those details.
Oh, wow. No, I've never done that. Me and my friend were talking about our collection of dick pics that we've got over the last few years. And, like... comparing how we felt about them, because we used to do this thing where we rated
Dick Advisor. Oh, we used to do a bit about this.
Yeah. But we also used to rate nachos at stores, and we were like, we should start doing this with our dick pics.
Yes, nachos and cocks. I love that. Yeah.
I'd rather have nachos most days, to be honest.
I just don't like it when people don't layer the cheese. Layer the goddamn cheese.
Yeah. Yes. Not just the top, and not although.
And I think it's the same with sex. Give me layers.
Yeah.
Give me layers.
Not just that, then that, then that. Back and forth. Yeah.
Give me the layers. Yeah.
What's the best ever nachos you've ever had?
We're talking about dick. Oh, no.
Oh, I like food more.
Okay, fine. There's a very good Mexican restaurant in Streatham. I don't know if it's still there because I haven't been to Streatham for years, because why would I?
Sorry, Streatham.
No, fuck Streatham.
This is a shit hole. I'm so sorry for people that live in Streatham.
I mean, I live in Catford. I'm not saying Catford's not a shit hole, but you know, other shit holes are available.
Call a shit hole a shit hole.
I've seen your kitchen. It's not a shit hole.
Yeah, that part of Catford's nice, but that's it.
Streatham. I don't know if they're still open, but yeah, they did very good nachos, very layered. Had also like not the sour cream and the salsa and the guacamole on the plate. It was in little pots.
Yes, better.
I like a little. Oh, you don't always quite know what that next mouthfeel's going to be like.
Yeah,
but my problem is I don't really like sour cream.
So if it's on the plate.
Then I'm just like, that's not the bit I'm eating.
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, this is... And again, some people don't do anal. There we are. That's it. So you and your...
Anyway, back to your comedy.
Your friend... You were talking about your dick pics.
Yeah. My best friend. Called her the wife. A.K.A. Snickers. Because I'm Twix, obviously.
Yeah.
My nickname's Twix. Her nickname's Snickers. We used to have a collection of dick pics over the years.
And would you share these, or were these just
personal? Of course.
Yeah.
Forward them on.
Put them in a WhatsApp group.
Stick them on Facebook.
Frame them. Print them off.
No, she used to have an album collection of her dick pics.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to try to do that, and then I lost my phone, so I couldn't. Some dick pics, unfortunately, have been gone.
Mm.
I've recently had one which is a mammoth.
Oh,
a mammoth. I will show you later.
A woolly mammoth?
Wow.
It's a mammoth. But it also looks like this person's in prison.
I was not.
Look, swings and roundabouts. Sometimes you have to eat the sour cream to get the nachos.
Because also, have you ever had a full head-to-toe dip it?
What do you mean?
Full body.
Where you see the man's face and the full body.
No. That was the rules of the dip and the tip pit. This is no head. Thing. No head.
And wow. In the back, there's like some, I don't know, like a little metal toilet in the corner of the room. Like, what is
it? A bucket. A bunk bed.
He obviously lives in a studio apartment, but the lampshade... So I say lampshade. The light has no lampshade.
Oh no, that's a bit prisony. Yeah.
A bit prisony.
His
red flag.
His curtain is not. It's held up with tape.
Yeah.
It's very prison. It's very prison vibe.
And then hanging on the hook is like a grey suit with arrows all over it.
But the dick itself,
good
not
stuff.
Even erect.
Yeah.
Mammoth.
Yeah.
Wow.
Happy to spend 25 years to life on that. Thank you very much.
Mammoth.
Wow.
Excellent. Well. what an adventure you've taken us on, Saki. So we've done the fucking government, we've done immigration law, we've touched on burlesque and wrestling, we've done comedy, we've done dick pics, we've done nachos. What a podcast it's been, Helen Thorne.
I know, I've had laughs, I've had gasps, I've had tears about your mother. I mean, it's been everything I've wanted.
So where can people come and see your show?
Come and see my show, like I said, all around the country from the 18th. Come see my show around the country around the 18th of February. Like I said, I'll be in Brighton, Manchester, Leeds, Southampton, Glasgow, Edinburgh, Macfest, and London. Come and see me. You can find me on my website. My tickets are on my website, Sakisa Comedy, or follow me on Instagram, Sakisa Comedy, or Twix. Type in Twix, it will pop up.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. We love you very, very much. And Ellie, we're on tour.
Yeah, but never mind that. Go and see Sakisa's show anyway. Yeah, everyone's seen all our shit. If you really want to go, why not both?
Exactly.
Go to scummymummies.com. Yeah. We're on tour like all year, apart from the summer. So go and see both.
scummymummies.com. You know, you've listened to this before, hopefully. Yes, that's us. All right. Well, we've got some dick pics to look at, so we really must go.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.